When I was a little kid, I remember singing, going to junior church. We call it super church here, but we called it junior church when I was a kid. I remember going there, and we got to sing fun songs. They had motions. One of my favorites was called Father Abraham Had Many Sons, because we got to do these marching things, and you got to march, move your legs, and then we got to move our hands. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. And when you're a kid, it's fun to use your hands. There's another one that I really liked. It was called Zacchaeus, because he was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. What I like about that song, What I like about that song is that as a kid, you always have to take orders from everyone else. Like the adults give you orders. You go do this. You go do that. And as a kid, you just have to do what they say. But when we sang Zacchaeus, I got to be in charge. Because you know, the story, the song goes, he climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And you get to use your hand still. But as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree. And this is my favorite part of the whole song, because I got to tell Zacchaeus what to do. Like Jesus was this domineering adult who wanted to criticize. We got our little fingers out and we pointed up in the air and we said, "You come down." Like Jesus didn't say it that way. He just like, "Zacchaeus, you get down here right now." That's how I said it, because I was a little kid and I never got to tell adults what to do. But when I sang Zacchaeus, I got to tell an adult what to do. And I did, buddy. You get down here. We remember that story because there's this short guy. He was short. At least I'm not short like that. And I get to tell him what to do. In Luke chapter 19, we actually have the real story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. There's some interesting things that happen. We're going to get through verse 4 today, verse 1 to 4, which doesn't resolve the story. But that's where I was like, hold on a minute. I would say that I accidentally learned something, but I don't believe it's an accident. What was happening while I was studying for this, I had the whole story of Zacchaeus prepared, like we're going to go through the whole thing. And the other morning when I woke up, I came in and I was like, "God, can you help? I mean, there's something here I'm missing. Can you teach me?" And I got to verse 4 and I was like, "That's pretty cool." And I was just flipping. You ever flip through your Bible? Like, I'm going to do my devotions today and open it up, and wherever I'm like, that's what God wants me to read today. I was just flipping through Luke and I read the first two verses of Luke chapter 10. When I read those, I realized, hold on a second. Jesus meeting, I did it again. I've been told I have this preacher voice when I say Jesus. And I'm trying to get over it. Jesus has a meeting with a man. And what I learned is that it was not an accident. It was actually strategic. This meeting with Zacchaeus had been planned for months. And I didn't learn that until this week. When I saw that, I thought, you have got to be kidding me. I've been singing Zacchaeus was a wee little man since I was a wee little man, and I never knew this. And it's not some great revelation. Smart people that study the Bible all the time probably already know this, but it just took me a while. Jesus' meeting with Zacchaeus was the result of a long-term plan that Jesus initiated months before. Jesus was a strategist. We're going to read this story together, at least the first part of it. It's in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. So he, Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And that's where we're going to stop. Zacchaeus was short, wanted to see Jesus, so he climbed up in a tree when Jesus came to town. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us wisdom. And thank you for giving us your written word so that we can continue to learn who you are and how to be like you. Please take everything that's said today and turn it into what you want it to be. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. What first pops out is that Jesus is in Jericho. And there's some Old Testament history there when the Israelites were slaves and then they were free, went through the wilderness. When they first got to the land God promised them, this is the story that we encounter. Joshua leads them against the Battle of Jericho. Instead of actually fighting Jericho, because all they wanted to do was pass by, Jericho wouldn't let them. The leaders wouldn't. They was like, no, you can't. So what do? Instead of actually going to war, God told Joshua, just walk around the city. So they did that every day for 7 days. On the seventh day, they walked around the city 7 times. This wasn't a little city. The walls were so tall and so wide that they could race chariots on the top of the walls. Big walls. Every day, they walked around the walls. And on the seventh day, they walked around 7 times. And at the end of the seventh time, they blew the trumpets and everybody shouted with a great shout. And the walls came tumbling down. So Israel's first conquest, if you want to call it that, was at Jericho, the city that was mean to them when they first tried to go where God wanted them, and they said no. So the walls came down. That's where Jesus is. He enters the city that was mean to the Israelites at first. And while he's there, he is walking through, and this chief tax collector named Zacchaeus comes into the story. A couple things important about Zacchaeus is that he was a Jew. He worked for the Roman government, and he took Jews' money. It's important to know that the Jews did not want the Romans to be in power. Their whole goal was to overthrow the Roman government so that the Jews could have their land back and be in power. So here's this guy, Zacchaeus, who is a Jew, working for the very people that the Jews are trying to overthrow. And not only is he just working for them, but he is taking advantage of his own people for personal gain and for Roman gain. His tax collectors were supposed to collect a set amount from people. And what tax collectors would do, if I say I'm supposed to go collect $100 from each home, I would just go to the house and say, you owe $120. Pay it or you're going to jail. Well, what options do you have? I get to pocket the extra money. That's what tax collectors did. That's why they were hated by everyone, including their own people. He's a Jew working against his own people, and he's crooked. And he becomes the star of the story. Jesus comes in here and starts talking, and this guy hears, Zacchaeus hears what's going on, and it says that he ran to meet him, like he went out with intent. It wasn't just happened to be outside when Jesus walked by Zacchaeus. Jesus was somewhere else. Zacchaeus hears, oh, this man's in town, so I'm going to go to meet him. The fun part is that it wasn't an accident that Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus. It was not an accident that Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus. And that's critical for where we are going as a church. It was no accident that Zacchaeus wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And we cannot let it be an accident. We can't hope that someone around us will accidentally hear what Jesus has to say. It was not an accident for Jesus. Two things to point out is that Jesus very clearly said that nobody just accidentally has the desire to know about God. if you want to look it up, it's in John chapter 6. But Jesus said, no one comes to God of their own will. God prompts people to come to him. An example of this would be like, if I'm in a group or in a crowd and someone is facing away from me, I can go up to that person and tap them on the shoulder and get their attention. In that situation, it is my desire to speak to that person, so I go get them. And Jesus said, that's not how it works with God. Actually, what's happened is you're distracted and your head's going 20 different directions, and God comes up and says, hey, Ben. And for some of us, he has to just say it once. Some of us, it takes a long time. He's like, hey, Ben, I'm right here. But God is the one that initiates the interest. God's the one that taps us on the shoulder and says, would you like to know something else? It doesn't have to be this way. God's the one that initiates. So in this interaction with Zacchaeus, this wasn't a spur-of-the-moment thing like, oh, well, I think I'll go hear what this guy has to say. For two reasons. The first is that because God was already working on Zacchaeus. The second, we see in Luke chapter 10, and I don't have this up there, but I'm going to read it to you just so you'll know that I'm not making stuff up. I try not to do that very often, only when it benefits me. That was a joke. Here's what Luke chapter 10 says. This is quite a few months before Zacchaeus. This is a long time before then. It says, after this, the Lord, Jesus, appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. That's what I was flipping through this week, just reading stuff like do-do-do-do-do, and I came across this. And here it says that Jesus appointed 72 people and sent them out two by two. So he said, here's what happened. Jesus said, all right, you two, I want you to go to Samaria and tell people about me, because I'm going to Samaria soon, and I want you to tell them what you've seen. Let them know I'm coming. When Jesus gets to Samaria, it just so happens there's this woman standing at the well who says, you're the one? And he sends two people to Jericho, says, in a few months I'm going to be at Jericho, so I want you to go ahead and tell people what you've seen and what I've done in your life and let them know I'm coming. And then a little while later, Jesus is strolling through Jericho and this guy named Zacchaeus wants to go see him face to face. It was not an accident that Zacchaeus wanted to know about Jesus. This is not in the Bible. It's not written that the two disciples that went to Jericho spoke to Zacchaeus. It's not written there. But we do know that there were two disciples who went to Jericho to tell people about Jesus and that he was coming. Zacchaeus was a Jew. These disciples went to tell the Jews. So it doesn't take much of a jump to say he probably heard the stories about Jesus from Jesus' planning committee. Hold on a second. I thought Jesus just kind of waltzed around the desert and whoever happened to be there would just get to hear what he had to say. Like, oh, I think I'll go over here for the day. Oh, look, there's a man possessed by demons. I guess I'll cast them out. I'll go over here. Oh, look, there's a sick person who's, how did she even know I was coming? Why does she keep pestering? She keeps hollering, somebody just touched my robe. It wasn't an accident that this lady just happened to be there. Like, Jesus sent people out ahead of him to say, here's who he is, and he's coming. So by the time he got there, they were prepared to meet them. Zacchaeus' interaction with Jesus wasn't by chance. And this is what I really got. Like, Jesus was strategic. Let that sink in for a second. Jesus was strategic. That's hard sometimes because we think that he just walked around and whoever happened to show up, well, they'd get to hear. Because unfortunately, I'm not talking just about us, but in church in general, that's kind of the way we do it. Like, well, we're going to have church, and whoever happens to show up, then they'll get to hear what's going on. Not going to tell you what's going on. You just got to show up to find out. Like, that's one of the dumbest things you can ever do. We're not going to tell you. You just got to show up. Like, you tell a stranger who's never been somewhere or met some of us, well, you just got to show up to this room full of a bunch of strangers and sit for an hour, and then you'll know. Like, that's not going to work. Jesus had a strategy. He said, why don't you go ahead and prepare them? Tell them what to expect, what you've seen, and when I get there, they'll know. So then I start looking at my own life, and I'm like, well, how strategic am I being about the responsibilities God's given me? I don't know if people have ever asked you, like, where do you want to be in 5 years? Like, I know what's going to happen in 20 minutes. I'm going to El Ranchero. Okay, how about 2 years? Tell me about 2 years from now. Finish this sentence. In 2 years, I will be 2 years older. Good one. Yeah. In 2 years, I will be 5 pounds heavier. In 2 years, I will, I don't know, probably still be sitting right where I'm sitting. That's a good thing. 2 years, I'm going to have kids who are 2 years closer to being an adult. What am I doing about that? Well, I'm just kind of hoping that they pick it up from their teachers at school. I don't know, we don't really have a plan. They're going to be an adult and, you know, Lord willing, they'll make good choices. Like, don't blame God for your lack of responsibility for your kids. Like, some kids do things. I mean, I get that. I don't know where my kids will be. 2 years from now, I will have spent 730 days. I don't know if you've ever thought about it that way, but today I have a day, and I will use it, and then it will be gone. It'll be spent. 2 years from now, I will have spent 730 days. 2 years from now, what books will I have read? Some of us don't like reading, so I listen to a lot of books. What books will I have listened to? Like, I really want to know more about prayer. 2 years from now, will I be able to look back and say, because I listened to this book and this book, and I watched these YouTube videos, and I've read this, now I am more comfortable talking about prayer? Or, my money's a wreck. In 2 years from now, is it going to be any different? Well, if I make a plan, you know what it's like to be in college, and every time they pass the offering plate at church, you're like, oh, I'm such a loser. I know. But I wasn't going to be in college my whole life because I had a plan. I got out of college, and like, you can buy a house that you can't afford. I'm like, that's a great idea. And then the plan is, well, if I can just get out of this house, then I'll have the... That was a doozy. How in the world can you buy a $115,000 house making $28,000 a year? Well, your realtor says you can, so you might as well. That was not a good plan. At some point, I want to stop looking down, well, I don't want to look because I don't know what's going to happen. Am I willing to stop, pause, and say, 2 years from now, I do not want to be where I am right now? We talk about money in education and, you know, personal hygiene, whatever it is, you know, pick a topic. Like, what's going to make the difference? I will have spent 730 days. In 2 years. Maybe yours is 1 year. Spent 365. and you keep thinking, wow, I wish I was more comfortable talking to people about God. And I've been saying that for 22 years. Well, I wish that I knew enough about this topic to be able to, I think it'd be fun to try to lead a class for a few weeks, but I don't know enough. And how long am I going to say that? Jesus had a strategy. He looked out to the future. It wasn't like he was seeing the future, like, well, Jesus did it because he knew everything. Kind of, but not really. And that's another subject. But he said, I have a plan. I'll go here and here and here and here. And before I get there, this needs to happen. And I wonder how many of us stop and say, all right, I'm going to decide where I will be going, and I'm going to create a plan and put things in place so that I don't just accidentally get there, or when I get there, nothing's ready for me. I have this mindset with music. I mean, I practiced my drums a lot when I was a teenager. I love the guitar. So what if I took this approach? I bought this guitar, and it's really nice. And as soon as a band hires me, then I'll start practicing. As soon as I get hired by a band, or as soon as somebody famous comes into town, then I'll pick my guitar up, and I'll hope that they see the potential in me. Like, that's not going to work. I need to have been practicing every day, practicing correctly. Or we think, well, I hope that by the time I retire, I'll have enough to retire. Or I hope that after I've been to church for 5 years, then I'll know enough to be able to handle. And hope is the beginning of an action. I have hope for something. Jesus hoped to reach the people in these towns, and then he took action. If you go to the grocery store and don't have a list, what do? You just buy whatever looks good. That's why you need a list. Or if you just don't want to go to the grocery store, you can do click list, and you just do it all at the house, and they get it ready for you, and you just pull up and they stick it in your truck. So cool. Or you can just order it and they'll ship it to your house and you don't even have to go anywhere. But that involves making a list. There's a plan. I need these things, so I do this. And do I have a list for those other areas of my life? Like, I want to become this person for God. So to do that, I will take these steps. Most of the time, we don't. We just think, well, hopefully it'll happen. When we get there, we'll see. And what Jesus shows us is that hopefully it'll happen is the wrong approach. We need to say, here's what I'm willing to do. So, here's what I think we should do. How do we do this in our own lives? First, we need to actually ask ourselves, what's a good direction for my life, and what do I need to begin doing to get there? I brought a few examples. A few years ago, I went through these books. So you don't have to read these books. I'm just showing you that I actually do read. And I actually read every page of each one of these books. That one's 300 and some pages. Can you believe I read a 300-page book? 274. This one's a doozy. This book has 455 pages. I read every page of this. You want to know why? Because it had something in it that I wanted. And I still have my notes in here from when I wrote out for the very first time my two life goals. At my funeral, here's what I want my wife to say and my children to say. I wrote those out right here. This is the original. The very first time, because I realized what I was doing wasn't working, and I needed a plan, because wandering will always keep me wondering. That's a good one. Wandering will always leave me wondering. So I came up with a plan, and this is part of my plan. I have a stack of books, and my library account will show you what I listen to, because I don't want to leave it to chance, thinking that, well, maybe God can use me somehow. For each one of us, if we stop and say, what has God given me the desire to do, and how can I develop that? How can I build a plan for that? The eternal question is, how can I become who Jesus wants me to be? We need to have a plan for our own spiritual maturity. 2 years from now, if you're still the same person that spouts off your mouth every time somebody ticks you off, and then you say, oh God, I'm sorry. Like, you need to do something about that. Like, he'll forgive you. Are you still going to remain a teenager Christian your whole life? No. Let's make a plan. Let's begin working toward that, looking out into the future, so that when we get to these situations that need us to be who God created us to be, we are. So here's what we can do. This morning on our church Facebook page, I posted a link to, it's pretty simple, to a website. Just a simple planning worksheet. If you've never done that before, you should. If you're 10 years old and you haven't done it, do it. If you're 75, you're still alive. What am I doing with, just pick those two wide ranges. What am I doing? There's a link on our church Facebook page, just a simple worksheet. What can I start doing, and how do I need to get there for us individually? And as a church, we can't just sit and hope that somebody shows up and hope that we have something to offer them so that they will be interested. Because we will fail every time if we just, like, well, we'll just see what happens. We need to have a plan and work toward that. And that's what our Sunday nights are going to be. I'm starting next Sunday night. We're taking very seriously this call that God's given us. He said, go into the world and make disciples. That does not happen by accident. It takes deliberate action. We need deliberate action in our personal lives and as a church. And so we're doing that. And I would encourage each one of you to say, God, what direction do you want me to head? And begin thinking and developing those areas. It's okay to read non-Christians. Like this guy right here, he's the one that wrote the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. That's this guy. Did you know he tried to sell his book for 3 years and had like 1,500 rejections? Nobody wants to read little stories about mushy-feely stuff. But he had a plan and he had a goal and he kept working. It's okay to learn from Jack. It's okay to learn from Christians. But what am I doing to learn? Let's do that as individuals and as a church. And I don't want to end the service without letting you know, too, that if you've never taken that first step and said, and the first big decision I need to make is for my eternal future, to say, God, I want you to be in charge, that you can do that today, too. Today's always a good day. Today's the best day to do that. Say, God, I am making a plan for my eternal home, and that includes you. All you church people say it differently, like, God, forgive me of all my sins. Or you can say, God, I want you to be the number one person in my life. God knows the desire of your heart. What way do you need to step back and look at your own life and say, how can I become who God wants me to be? And how can we become the church God wants us to be? Jesus, who was God, didn't just leave it to chance. And if Jesus didn't leave it to chance, as good as he was, then I can't either. So let's do something with what God's given us. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us this time together. Thank you for a warm building and good friends that we get to learn with. And I hope that everything we do will be pleasing to you. I know that you can bring the right people across our paths. You can show us the right books to read or the right books to listen to. Or you can cause us to have the conversations you want us to have so that we can become more mature believers, so that we can become like Jesus. Show us what you want us to see, and be patient with us as we learn. Everything we do is so that people will know you more. It's in the name of Jesus we ask all of this. Amen. Hope you have a great week, and we will see you soon.